from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. The entire state of California is now under the shelter-in-place order that's been in effect in the Bay Area this week. Governor Gavin Newsom said his decision to extend the order to 40 million residents was based on a scenario where more than half of Californians would contract the virus and not enough hospital beds would be there to meet their needs. We learn more. Then, the number of racist attacks, both verbal and physical, against Asian Americans is only expected to grow as anxiety and fallout from the coronavirus pandemic seek a scapegoat. We look at how the attacks are playing out, the legal rights of victims, and what you can do to help. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Governor Gavin Newsom laid out the reasons for his statewide shelter-in-place order in stark terms last night, saying more than half of Californians could contract the virus and there may not be enough hospital beds for them. The governor also said these next 8 weeks are crucial to, quote, bending the curve or slowing the rate of COVID-19 infections that have proved deadly, especially to the elderly or people with underlying health issues.
This is a moment in time, and we will meet this moment together. And we will look back at these kinds of decisions as pivotal decisions. If we're to be criticized at this moment, let us be criticized for taking this moment seriously. Let us be criticized for going full force and meeting this virus head on.
Joining me to talk about the impact of the governor's order and the efforts to avoid a worst-case scenario are KQED's Katie Orr, politics and government reporter for KQED, and Anna Maria Berry-Jester, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit news site that's not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. And Anna Maria Berry-Jester, I want to start with you. So the governor's statewide shelter-in-place order is similar to the one that the Bay Area has been under, with exceptions for those deemed essential businesses and performing essential functions. But Newsom did not state how long this order will remain in effect. So does that supersede the end dates that were initially reported from counties?
That's a great question. So yes, as you said, Newsom modeled what he's calling a stay-at-home order after the Bay Area's order, which we, you know, was introduced earlier this week. It keeps open a pretty broad list of essential services, laundromats, banks, emergency repairs. Even the orders in the Bay Area, they were put until April 7th in most places, but that is subject to change. It could end earlier or stay on longer. It all sort of depends on what happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I think we'll get more information as time goes on.
And Newsom shared some very specific and dramatic numbers, Anna Maria Berry-Jester, that were driving his thinking. Can you remind us what those were and also, you know, what they represent?
Yes. So there was a ton of headlines yesterday about the 56% number. So that was, the state has been doing some modeling, right? They are taking into account sort of conditions in California and what we know about how infectious this virus is. And they think that a majority of the state could get the virus if we didn't take any action, sort of doing the dramatic things that are being put in place, like the stay-at-home order. But what Newsom said is what he's really concerned about is that they anticipate they're going to need 19,500 beds beyond the current hospital capacity in California. And that is really what everyone's concerned about. It's, of course, people being sick is a problem. Nobody wants that, but you don't usually shut down the economy for that reason. The reason that we're taking such dramatic action is because if the hospitals get overwhelmed, that sets us in sort of a spiral that could be really dangerous. And right now it's looking like they might need, you know, up to 20,000 beds additional beyond what we currently have.
So are you saying this nearly 20,000 beds represents a shortage of beds, represents a plausible scenario or a worst case scenario?
It's not a worst case scenario. It is a plausible scenario. It is on the high end of their estimates, but it is not a wild or an estimate or an overestimate based on what a lot of public health modelers have been saying. It's really quite dramatic what we could be facing in the very near future.
And so what are some of the efforts that he's making to try to mitigate, you know, that scenario that really stood out to you?
Right. So the nearly 20,000 beds they need, again, that's based on current capacity, but they are already doing things to ramp up that capacity. They acquired a hospital in Daly City that they're going to convert into, you know, having potentially many beds. The state said that they were going to acquire another hospital in Southern California. They are looking at all sorts of alternative arrangements for places where people could stay who are sick and maybe don't need to be in the ICU, but do need to be quarantined. So looking at tens of thousands of hotel rooms, potentially college campus dorm rooms, that kind of thing. They've also, interestingly, are reaching out to recently retired medical workers to see if they could contract some of them to come in and staff these facilities to provide backup to other existing facilities that are going to face some staff shortages.
Yes, and then he also mentioned that he's requested a hospital ship from the U.S. Navy based on these projections that he was so concerned about. Do you have any sense of the timeline for something like that to be operational?
I don't know the timeline with the ship in particular. I do know that they're trying to get the hospital up and running quickly. You know, these things can be done relatively quickly. And the good news, in a sense, is that because the development of the disease, the progression is fairly slow in most people, the reason we're doing this now is because they're looking at being overwhelmed 2 to 3 weeks from now. So there is a little bit of time, even though many of the facilities in the Bay Area are already sort of feeling some of the strain of the increase in respiratory cases and a lack of supplies and things like that.
Well, one of the other things, Katie Orr, that the governor mentioned was that he was going to add Seton Medical Center as one of the state locations for treating COVID-19 patients. Do you have any sense of when that transition could take place or any more information about that?
He said in his news conference last night that they have acquired that hospital. He said they would be making another announcement about a hospital in Southern California today, and that together those would add 750 beds to our hospital capacity. And, you know, of course, he's made that request to have the USS, I believe it's Mercy, off of the coast. Yes, USNS Mercy Hospital to dock off the coast of Los Angeles. So they are trying to ramp up the hospital capacity as much as they can.
And of course, all of these efforts at social distancing, at sheltering at home, all of those things are aimed at trying to slow the rate of spread of COVID-19 infections and also to avoid inundating the hospitals. But Katie, do you have a sense of what the enforcement plans are around this? He sort of said that there exists penalties, but that he's also relying on social pressure.
Right. And again, they made the point last night that there's like 40 million Californians. There are not enough police officers, you know, military members, National Guard to go around and, you know, ensure that everyone is staying in their house unless they're out for, you know, an approved reason. However, and he said that is not the intent. They don't want to turn this into a police state, you know, and that is why they are relying on social pressure. You know, if I see my friend out having a barbecue with some of her friends in the backyard, I have to say, hey, you know, or in the park, you're not allowed to do that right now. It's not safe for us to do that right now. And that's what he's really hoping. We've seen a lot of Governor Newsom trying to let people know that this is serious, but also trying to keep them calm. And so this is, you notice, it's called a stay at home order, not a shelter in place order, not a lockdown, because again, it's all about the terminology to try and keep people calm. We don't want to see people hoarding any more than they have or feeling desperate, things like that.
Katie Orr is KQED's politics and government reporter. We're also talking with Anna Maria Berry-Jester, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. We're talking about Governor Newsom's statewide stay-at-home order issued yesterday. Give us a call with your questions or reactions for them. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. 866-733-6786. They're with us for the first half hour, so the time to get in touch is now. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook at KQED Forum or email your questions to forum at KQED.com. kqed.org. Well, Anna Maria Berry-Jester, it's all fine and good to try to ramp up capacity at hospitals, but one of the big issues that has, you know, clearly bubbled up is this question of whether or not the frontline health workers will be equipped to handle the patients that do come in. You've been getting some pretty intense and deep stories about how this is affecting frontline health workers. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, I was able to talk to emergency room physicians in several Bay Area hospitals this week, and it was very interesting. One thing that stood out is that while every emergency room physician I spoke with is facing some kind of shortage at their hospital, they all have different concerns. So Stanford, for example, went on a global scavenger hunt early on and said it was doing okay on supplies, which is an issue at many other hospitals, and I'll talk about that in a second. But they are a little concerned about their workforce. They have several healthcare workers who are out sick, and then a lot of them who are struggling with child care, because with the schools closed, it's very challenging for people to figure out what they can do with their children while they're at work on these sort of long, intense shifts and potentially being exposed to the virus themselves. UCSF, on the other hand, had this really beautiful thing going on where their medical students are not able to go to classes right now, and they got together and are forming a group to try and provide medical care for some of the frontline health workers. But UCSF mm-hmm. is really low on protective equipment. They're doing a triage center, so if you come to the hospital, the first thing they do is check you for respiratory symptoms. If you have respiratory symptoms, they send you to these tents, which are heated and have negative pressure. You know, they're very nice. It's not, they're a very nice place. But they are already reusing every piece of protective equipment that they have, essentially, other than gloves. They're wiping them down with disinfectant wipes and just reusing everything, which is not sort of standard practice for them. They're also extremely low on testing swabs. So they got their testing up and running on March 9th, but within a few days, they were already so low on swabs that they weren't exactly sure that they were going to be able to continue testing at the rate that they've been doing.
Well, a lot of attention has been on face masks, and last night the governor mentioned that California was getting its first national stockpile of face masks and gloves, and that they'd already been dispersing California's stockpile as well. But two questions here. One is, how quickly are we going to get the national stockpile of gloves and face masks? But also, I mean, are those the things that we really need? Because it sounds like what you're describing is a broad array of things that we need, including the swabs.
Yeah, the face masks are definitely one of the major, major concerns. Governor Newsom did say that they would have a shipment, I think, arriving today or it already had arrived very soon. But to your point, yes, it takes time to distribute these things. There's need sort of statewide. There are outbreaks growing in other parts of the state, even though the Bay Area is sadly a little bit of ahead on some of those cases. So the sort of distribution is one issue. But, you know, in Washington state, they also got a release of supplies from the national stockpile. They already have some of those supplies. And physicians there told us that they are already concerned about running low again. So, normally under normal circumstances, physicians use quite a lot of these things. And it's okay for them to use a little bit fewer supplies than they might under normal circumstances without sort of sacrificing any quality. But the conditions they're working under now, where they're having to reuse everything being issued, and you know, the reports in some hospitals are being issued one mask per shift, is not normal. And for them, they hear that these supplies are supposed to be coming, but until they're there, they're not there, and that is sort of the concern that I was hearing from the physicians.
Well, let me go to our listeners, and caller Chris from San Rafael is on. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I live with my elderly grandmother. She's 85. My mother as well, who has lupus and autoimmune disorder. But I also work at a takeout restaurant. We're providing a lot of great food for the community. It's been really great. My big fear is if I do contract coronavirus, I can't quarantine at home. I know that you guys had talked about Governor Newsom potentially having hotels or college dorms available for quarantine. Do I fit in that? And how does that work?
Thanks, Chris. Katie Orr, any response for Chris? Do you have any insight into whether or not he would be eligible for? quarantine.
Honestly, I don't know about his particular situation. I know that the governor said, I believe last night, that it was about, they've procured about 900 hotels and motels. It was my understanding that those are going to be for people without homes, the unsheltered population, for a place for them to get off the streets. It might also be used to help people in quarantine or in isolation if the hospitals get overrun. So there very well may be space for some of the public, but I imagine it would be a triaged system of who needs to get in there, because the space is going to be limited. Even if, you know, they have 900 hotels, again, 40 million people in the state, it's going to be, space is tight.
Well, Christine writes, I read about some people sewing fabric masks at home. Should we be doing this in California? Anna Maria Berry-Jester, it's a good question, because if one of the big concerns is that, face masks have to be of a certain quality, there's been a lot of concern among nurses who've been asked to use surgical masks instead of N95 masks, then are homemade face masks really going to be a good stopgap measure?
Right. No, homemade face masks are not the same as an N95. These masks are made so that absolutely nothing can kind of get into the mask in the breathing way of the medical staff. And there's, even as you're saying, the surgical masks offer some protection. At UCSF, they told me that they're having all of the healthcare workers wear surgical masks everywhere within the facility because they have so many people with respiratory symptoms around. So that is something that you can do for partial protection, but it's not the same as using an N95, particularly if you're treating someone with the virus.
Though there was some talk that like these vinyl shields can be homemade and that there have been attempts to make those with other office supplies.
Right. It is true that things operate on a spectrum, right? So if we don't have the sort of top quality gear N95s, there are things that people can use to take some protections. But right now they're really trying to focus on and maintaining the supply for healthcare workers of sort of the best quality materials. Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel writes, are farm workers, such as those on vineyards, allowed to go to work? Are they considered essential, Katie Orr?
That's a good question. I believe that a lot of these essential employees can be made on a local level. I know that people who work in food service, such as like restaurants with takeouts, those are considered essential employees. I can imagine a place in like Sonoma where they have to harvest those grapes, or else it's just a huge economic loss, that they probably would likely let those workers continue to work, that they would be deemed essential.
They are considered
Anna Maria Berry-Jester.
Yes, I'm sorry. They are considered essential. And even during the press conference this morning, Secretary Mike Pompeo did say he was working on visas, specifically mentioning that they want to make sure that farm workers can get in to work in the agriculture industry and keep it up and running in the United States.
Well, let me go to caller William in Belvedere. Hi, William.
Yes, just to come back to the question of the N95 masks. In the Marin Independent Journal yesterday, there was an article about the nurses at Kaiser and at Marin General raising issues about this, because they say that it hardly seems a coincidence that when they ran out of the N95 masks, the CDC said, oh, well, I guess those aren't necessary. That really seems a little bit too convenient to inspire confidence in the public.
Well, let me get a reaction from Anna Maria Berry-Jester.
I did speak specifically with a couple of emergency room physicians around this, and essentially what they said is, every step of the way when they run into supply limitations, they go to the group in charge of infection control in the hospital, and they talk over what they can do to make use of what they have. And it is not a perfect solution. And as one doctor told me at UCSF, they recognize that it does put them at some risk, but it is what they're facing and what they're doing and what they're going to work with right now.
Well, let me go to Chris in Menlo Park next. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a current medical student here at Stanford, and I just want to give your guests an opportunity I think, correct one of the statements that she was saying earlier about UCSF medical students. I think she meant to say that they're providing childcare for providers. That's something that's also been organized by students here at Stanford and then also at medical schools across the country.
Chris, thanks. Anna Maria Berry-Jester, did you mean that the medical students were providing childcare?
Yes, I'm sorry if I misspoke, but yes, that was what I was saying. They have organized to provide childcare for the children of other medical workers, and that's great to hear Stanford's doing that as well. I'm not surprised. I did hear a lot about the camaraderie and how different parts of the community have been stepping up to sort of fill in some of these gaps.
Well, Stephanie writes, many Earth Day cleanup events have been canceled, but people still need to get outside to keep their sanity and they want to help. Would it still be prudent to invite people to come out individually to help pick up litter? If so, is there any advice as to how this could be organized? Katie Orr?
You know, right now, I don't see them allowing any kind of organized task like that because the focus right now is on people staying home and staying away from each other. I mean, I suppose if you wanted to go out on your own, maintaining a social distance from someone and pick up litter, you are allowed to do that. You're allowed to go outside to walk, to get some exercise, things like that. I don't see them allowing any kind of organized event, even if it is, you know, within a social distance right now. It's just not where the state is at.
Yes, but it's good you're emphasizing that people can go outside.
Yeah,
some of you wondered just how limited that was. You know, Anna Maria Berry-Jester, just before we go, I do want to ask you about other equipment. We have been talking quite a lot about personal protective equipment, but the governor also talked about ventilators and the need for ventilators. Can you tell us where we're at with that?
Yeah, I don't have the most current numbers on ventilators, but there is concern that we don't have enough nationally. And then as the governor has emphasized, the other problem is that, you know, they're distributed throughout our very large state. And so the question is always, do we have enough in the right places as well? And so they've said they're working with a unnamed entrepreneur to see if we could have more made in the short time frame that we need and that kind of thing. But there is a national shortage of ventilators, and that certainly applies to California.
It's been interesting because the reaction to Governor Newsom initially, there were some questions about whether he was going too far. I mean, to do a sweeping order like this across a state of 40 million people is no small thing. Now we're hearing that New York is doing something similar. What do you think about whether or not these sweeping measures are too much or not enough, Anna Maria Berry-Jester?
From talking to public health experts and epidemiologists, you know, every single day for the last 2 months, I can say that none of them think that this is an overly dramatic reaction. We, unfortunately, early on, there would have been an opportunity potentially to do a lot of testing and try to quarantine people who have the virus, contact trace, you know, figure out who they've been in touch with and try and work on things that way. But we had very limited testing capacity, and that meant that since we don't know who has it, the best thing we can do right now is try to severely limit who is in contact with who, limit those social circles, and just try to stop the spread of the virus.
And remind us, Katie, you are the state's new resource for people with questions about the shelter at home during COVID-19.
They can go to covid19.ca.gov.
Well, Katie Orr, thanks so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
KQED's politics and government reporter and Anna Maria Berry-Jester, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us for more Forum.